Today we celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit by the ascended Jesus. Today we celebrate power unleashed. But it hardly seems that way. The English spirit and spiritual cast a weak, sickly power over the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, though, we see it differently. The Spirit is active in creation. He's the power behind the mighty deeds of the judges. He is the active force behind Israel's prophets, priests, and kings. So when we come to the New Testament and speak of Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided, Spirit-empowered, we're speaking of power unleashed. Pentecost unleashed the power to undo Babel. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit gave the church the ability to speak in languages they didn't know, undoing the judgment God gave out at the Tower of Babel. From the one tongue they all spoke, God made many so that fallen men would not be able to do everything they wanted to do. God had commanded they scattered, they did not. They gathered in the same place. God had set apart His promised seed. They joined with the faithless. In judgment of the fallen children of men and to protect His promised seed, God confused their tongues so that they would have to scatter from one another. The Spirit being poured out undoes a curse that all men everywhere have been struck by. In our day of pocket translating devices, we may be losing touch with the curse and the power it takes to undo it. You probably have to know something about technology to understand the hundreds of inventions, the thousands of man hours, and the miles of computer code that enable a handheld device to translate your English to another language. In an instant, the Spirit did that. So badly did the Spirit want the mighty deeds God did in Christ to be known to all people everywhere. So badly did the Spirit wish to take the things of Christ and give them to all people that He undid the language barrier. Pentecost celebrates the power of forgiveness being unleashed into all the world. Previously, Jesus made a point of saying that His earthly ministry was only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's whom John the Baptist preached to. That's whom Jesus went to. That's whom Jesus sent the first 70 pastors to. But Jesus rose from the dead, speaking of forgiveness for all nations. Right before His ascension, He told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. In a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And at ascension, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." Pentecost unleashed the power of Jesus' name into the ends of the earth. The sign of that happening was the breaking down of language barriers. But only a few could speak another language on that first Pentecost. The way for everyone to experience that power individually was by the forgiveness of their sins. That's how it was at the first Pentecost. A crowd was called together by the sound of rushing wind and found the church proclaiming the great deeds God did in Jesus. God had shown Jesus to be both Lord and Christ, the very Jesus they had Pilate crucified. The people were cut to the heart and they cried out to the apostles, "What shall we do?" Yes, what shall we do about our sins? The ones you know and will admit to, well, they're enough to damn you today and for all of your tomorrows. Doesn't just the fact that you cannot focus on spiritual things for a 15-minute sermon prove how fallen you are? What are you going to do about all the ways you've crucified Jesus anew? Every time you fear, love, or trust something more than you do God, you put another nail in Jesus. Every lust you make, every trust you break, every love that you fake makes your load of guilt all ever heavier. And don't think your excuses are an answer. Don't think your resolves to do better from now on change anything. The devil, your own conscience, and even others laugh at your lame excuses and meaningless promises. These three know you. They know you always have an excuse for every sin you've ever committed. They know you've promised to do better next time 10,000 times. So what are you going to do about your sins? The first Pentecost crowds were people who had rejected the baptism of John. They had turned their noses up at it when John preached it and the disciples of Jesus offered it. The apostles tell them to turn away from their rejection of baptism because baptism brings them the Spirit, and the Spirit brings them Jesus, and Jesus brings them forgiveness. The Holy Spirit brings the things of Jesus. Jesus promised He will take of mine and He will give it to you. We saw how your promises and excuses are no match for your sins. We saw how the devil, others, and your own conscience can unman you by a few simple questions and accusations, leaving you naked before God with all your guilt. Well, they can't do that to Jesus. Jesus lived an unassailable life. He never sinned in thought, word, or deed. Not even the devil himself could put a sin on Jesus. That wicked thought buzzing through your head never buzzed through His. That sinful deed you've done that no one knows about was never done by Jesus. That harsh word you will speak to a loved one was never spoken by Jesus. Yet Jesus died the thousand deaths your shameful and shameless sinning deserves. Everything the devil says should happen to you, everything people you've wronged wish would happen to you, everything your conscience knows should happen to you, happened to the perfect Jesus. Jesus was publicly embarrassed and shamed. He was rejected by His friends and even His heavenly Father. So covered was He with your sins, with the world's sins, with all sins, that even the sun in the sky couldn't bear to shine on Him. This perfect life and innocent death of Jesus, the Holy Spirit brings to you through tangible things. Jesus' perfect life is put over your imperfect life by the power of the Spirit working in the waters of baptism that touch your skin. Jesus' complete payment of all sins everywhere is applied by the power of the Holy Spirit to you by the words of absolution that strike your eardrums. Jesus' perfect life in your place and His holy death in your stead are found in Jesus' body and blood in communion, where the Spirit testifies with every taste, touch, smell, and sight of bread and wine that you are guiltless before God for Jesus' sake. Have you ever felt the power of a sound wave? Sound is invisible, but from the thump, thump, thump of a band's bass that you feel in your gut, to the thunder clap that you feel in your head, to the sound wave of an explosion that can knock you off your feet, you know sound is there. Pentecost celebrates the unleashing of the Spirit's power through the Word preached by the apostles and the sacrament of baptism they administer. What remains to be seen is how Pentecost is the unleashing of the power, but it's not the power itself. The incarnation of God's Son in a virgin's womb put the power of God in flesh and blood for flesh and blood sinners. The crucifixion was God the Son paying for the sins of all mankind, so all flesh and blood would be able to use the holy power of God without being destroyed by it. The resurrection of God the Son on Easter was God the Father's public acceptance of what Jesus had done. After the resurrection, the God-man Jesus proclaims, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me." Ascension is God the Son ascending in our flesh and blood to claim heaven for flesh and blood. Ascension is for our good, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit could not come, He had to be sent. And not even the Father could send Him upon sinful flesh and blood. Only the Son could do that. Only a man could do that. Only a perfect man could do that. And He did. He sent the Spirit whooshing down out of heaven to draw a crowd. Tongues of fire appeared on those upon whom the Spirit came, so all would know who had it. And then the power of the Spirit was unleashed as a wave of sound that had power to bowl over sin, death, and the devil. A wave of sound exploded into the air, giving forgiveness of sins and eternal life to everyone who heard it. The thump, thump, thump of God's promises, graces, and mercies in Christ were driven into every stomach. But why did it take 50 days after Easter and 10 days after Ascension for Jesus to unleash the Spirit's power? I.e. to take the things of Jesus and give them to fallen mankind. What we don't want to do is import our ideas of time and effort into heaven. We don't want to think Jesus needed the time to get it done. Why the time was taken goes back to the Old Testament day of Pentecost. It was unanimous Jewish tradition at the time of Christ that Pentecost was the anniversary of the giving of the law. As the giving of the law completed the deliverance of the Old Testament church from Egypt, so deliverance worked by Jesus was completed by the outpouring of the Spirit. Yes, the payment of our sins was finished on the cross. Yes, the Father issued the receipt for that payment on Easter morning. Yes, the Son claimed the heavenly purchase for flesh and blood on Ascension. But it wasn't really finished till the Son poured out the Spirit on all flesh, unleashing the power of life in the face of death and grave, unleashing the power of forgiveness in the face of sin and guilt, unleashing the power of joy in the face of sadness and despair. There is power in a live man and no power in a dead one. There is power in a forgiven sinner and a sapping of power in a guilty one. There is power in joy and a negation of power in sadness and despair. Joy, forgiveness, and life are given to you today and every day by the power of the Holy Spirit unleashed in the weak-looking things of Jesus' Word, Jesus' water, Jesus' body, Jesus' blood. His word breaks rocks into pieces. His water drowns death. His body bows demons. His blood covers the ugliest sins. Having these tangible things of Jesus is proof positive you are Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided, Spirit-empowered. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.